Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I am so here. I am so happy to be here in the studio. There's no parades going by. I love the State Fair, but as a broadcast place, it's quite hectic. All these things are going on. People are coming to try to get you to taste their cotton candy while you're on the air, and the parades and the fire trucks and the everything. It's fun. I wouldn't trade it for the world, but this is very soothing. It's like Calgon has taken me away to this wonderful studio here with Dennis. All right, so here's what we have on the show today. Miss Jamie Malone is going to be coming in. She's a superstar of the Grand Cafe. She is running late, though, so we've got some other treats. I'm going to answer some of your questions at the top of the show, which we usually don't do. So you got anything for the Ask Me Anything? I had one question already about how to make those State Fair peaches, the grilled peaches, how to do that at home. We will talk about that. That's a fun one and easy one. And I've also got a little pinch hitting. I've got Mr. Mike Brown from Travail on because everybody loves Travail. Travail is undergoing all kinds of changes, and their new barbecue thing is coming up. Their Oktoberfest thing is coming up. So I thought I would get Mr. Brown online, talk to us. Hello, Chef Mike Brown of the Travail Empire.
Hello. How's it going?
Oh, good. Thanks for being here. Hey, I got a question for you. How is all of this transition going?
Well, I would be lying if I didn't say it wasn't stressful. It is a stressful situation, but it's all working out. There's just, the three projects all happening at once, and we're throwing this Oktoberfest party coming up here too, so we have a lot on our plate.
All right, you do. You have many plates and a lot on them. Did you see that crazy story in, I think it was Food and Wine this week, about the California chefs with $1,000 plates?
I heard rumors. I didn't actually read the article, but I was like, yep, that sounds about right.
Well, let me break it down for you. So it's all like in the mutually assured destruction of fancy dining on the West Coast. Everybody
right.
is getting like handmade pottery from fine artists, and like God bless them, but these things are all like $1,000, $5,000, these ridiculous things. And so they, you know, if somebody wants to use them for service, they bring them out. Like one server must carry them with two hands and then put it in front of someone and then carry it back, and then they wash them after service in a closed room, and people are putting in rubber floors so they can drop all the stuff. This is like the craziest thing I've ever heard. What are rich people in California doing?
Oh my God, nobody knows. I mean, come on, that's why we live in Minnesota, right? Stay away. That's why Prince. That's why Prince lived in Minnesota, so he could stay away from all the madness that's like that. I mean,
I feel like Goldilocks. Like I will never be happy. I remember I was in Pig Ate My Pizza, which is your great pizza place, and had this wonderful charcuterie thing. And then I was all bent out of shape because like the sauces were dripping off this Home Depot slate tile that you were serving everything on. And I was like, oh, if you're going to put a sauce on something, it's got to have a rim. Now I'm totally bent out of shape the other way. You can't have this solid gold pottery.
Listen,
oh, and they said that this stuff that if it breaks, like then it's all like wabi-sabi, the beauty of the break. And then they fuse it back together with solid gold. So you
wabi-sabi.
See the gold in the the bonkers, so nuts.
Just so you know, that slate tile you were eating on was handmade, and it was, you know, it wasn't $1,000. It was, you know, $200. No, I'm kidding. No, it was a slate tile. No, that's madness. I like I said, I heard about it, and I was just like, well, I guess I'll read that later when I have more time. But
only do you have three restaurants, you got a new you've got a baby.
Yeah, I got a baby on the way. It's all happening. I have a son, another son coming in November. So
you have a toddler and a baby. The craziest 6 weeks of my life was having a newborn and a toddler. It's like being in one of those, you know, like those things on TV where they put a bunch of money in a box and it's swirling around,
right,
and you got to grab,
yeah,
money. Except everything is only the most precious baby or a dirty diaper, and you've got to, and it's like this, and you have to grab everything at all times. It's so stressful.
Well, my first son, he's like Hulk Smash type of guy where he just doesn't stop. And he runs in circles, and you just kind of wait till he peters out. I'm actually quite interested to see what this next one's like. If I get two of those, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, sure. I wish you all blessings with that. My second one was a great sleeper. My first one never slept at all. My second,
yeah,
one was an amazing sleeper. But then just the toddler in the mix with the newborn is so crazy. At one point, I had the baby,
right,
the newborn, in one of those swings. You know what a swing does. It goes back and forth and back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
And then I realized that the toddler has got all his toys, and he's now using the baby and the baby swing as a place to, like, throw things. Like, he's working on his target practice. He's just tossing toys in on top of the newborn. That's what happens if you pause in all that and get a glass of water.
I hear all these crazy stories from people, and when I say I'm interested to see what the new one's like, because I've never heard a story where anyone's like, yeah, my kids were, they're both just the same. So I know,
that's the thing.
I'm in for something here.
That's the thing, is like the first one you have, you totally buy all the stuff. You're like, oh, it's nurture. I have raised these children and done good things and bad things, and it's all about me. And then the second one comes along, you're like, oh, no. They just came out that way. This is nature. I am just here as a guardian and guider to do these amazing creatures. Anyway, so you've got babies coming,
yep,
blessings onto your head, and then also,
yeah,
you've got these three projects. So let's get up to date. Is the,
all right,
the
we can run through them here.
So the barbecue, everyone's
right,
on the edge,
we'll do
of their
barbecue. We'll do barbecue.
Let's do barbecue first.
All right, barbecue first.
Northeast corner of Lowry and Central, practically right off the corner.
Pretty
there,
much right over by Fair State over there, and it's a freestanding building,
tiniest building in Northeast, 700
yep,
square feet, and you're,
yep,
putting
and
a smoker in there.
Takeout, yeah, we've designed and built our own smoker. We are actually general contracting this project ourselves, so it's been kind of a fun little challenge. We got our framing inspection passed and our electrical passed, so we're gonna start. In our plumbing pass, so we're going to start closing up the walls and starting on finishes. It's going to be quite interesting. It's like all coming to fruition. It should be ready in a month.
So you're able, it all worked out with the city in the end, you're able to set fire to wood and,
yeah,
then have the smoke go into the neighborhood?
Yep, it's all rezoned. Everything's ready to rock. I mean, that took about 2.5 years, so that's,
wow,
that's water under the bridge. And right now we're just really focusing on trying to get this thing finished and getting our menu started in there and doing some little soft opening fun things before the winter hits.
So. Okay, so you could potentially have a smoked turkey for me for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, we always have smoked turkeys for Thanksgiving. People, we do about 50 of them. And
wait, what?
We do smoked turkeys and like Thanksgiving dinner that we sell for like $140 for like 6 to 8 people.
What, you can't spare a press release for your friend Dara? What?
I don't know. We put it out there. It goes pretty quick, actually, to be honest. People are like, oh, well, duh. Like, you know, $150 to feed, you know.
To not clean my oven. Yeah, that's,
yep,
worth it.
Exactly. you just warm it all up and it's go, go, go. So people really like that. But, yeah, we'll be definitely smoking some turkeys. The smoker itself is a stand-up smoker, which actually, it, like, vertically rotates. It doesn't, like, horizontally rotate. So, the guy we built the smoker with, he's like, you could put 4 whole hogs in this thing.
What do you mean it vertically rotates? That means,
so,
like there's a maypole,
yeah, like,
in the middle that spins around?
Yeah, like a carousel.
Oh.
And it has, like, racks that go up. And it's, you know, it's rather large.
So it's like a merry-go-round for hogs? Is
exactly.
That what you're telling,
well, yeah,
me?
I mean, we're going to do ribs. We're going to do, you know, we're going to do all these different things that are going to require different racking systems inside of it. But like, if you were to clear out all the racks, like you could fit like 4 full hogs in this and just like rotate them in there if you wanted. I'm like, wow, don't say stuff like that to me, because you know that we'll end up trying to do that.
It's the merry-go-round of the macabre in Northeast.
Yeah.
All right. I like it. So that's,
Let's go Pig and My Pizza. That's going into the Travail space, which is currently now. And then the brewery, we just basically are purchasing all of our brewery equipment in the next week. It's already ordered, and we're going to signed for that. We got our general contractor picked out, and all design is finished.
That's expensive. How much can I ask? How much are you throwing
at? It's going to be like $500,000.
Oof.
$500,000 remodel and whole project altogether. But that includes, you know, the brewery equipment as well. So we're doing a smaller system. And the retrofit of this building, you're not going to recognize it at all. It's not going to look anything like the Travail that you know. It's going to look much, much different. It's going to have a screened enclosed porch inside of the building.
Why?
Which, it's to avoid, because you can't actually have, we're going to put garage doors on the front of the building, and you can't have open air if you have an open kitchen. So the enclosure itself is just this large, like, screened wall where we can put people in the front, and it's going to have this, like, kind of fun, like, Minnesota screen porch vibe. It's going to be pretty fun, pretty cool.
All right, that's weird. And so this, so you're for your Oktoberfest. You're not going to have, your own beer yet. You're still, because you're buying the equipment this week.
I know. It's a bummer, but it's what it is. We're going to have a bunch of different Oktoberfest beers. And it's $80 a person. It's all you can eat, and there's so much food. It's ridiculous. $5 a beer. And the menu is everything you could think of, basically, when it comes to, like, German food. Schnitzel and sauerkraut, pretzel with cheese, meat, Reuben sandwiches, German chocolate cake, which isn't actually German. We just, we're making it.
What do you mean German chocolate cake isn't actually German? You mean it's
well,
not?
Well, I've heard so many different things that, like, the way that German chocolate cake has actually been bastardized, the way Americans eat it now, it's, like, actually not the way that they do it there.
Well, yeah, because it's got coconut. It's, Germany is not where the coconut trees grow.
Well, yeah, it's just the chocolate cake then. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, if you make German chocolate cake the way that, like, Americans recognize it specifically, it's, like, not really the way they make it there, but
well,
whatever.
Chocolate comes from the, you know, ancient Mayans in the middle of the country. So we I get very worked up about authenticity as a concept because people are like, oh, well, that's not tomatoes the way they do in Italy. It's like, yeah, tomatoes came after Columbus. What have they been there for 500 years? How much authenticity do I got to get worked up about? All the time.
I'm telling you, this party is just a huge part. The last time we did it, it was a huge success. There was like 250, 300 people, I think. And we do the inside and outside. There's, you know, the hammer with the nail game and freaking.
What is the hammer with the nail game?
Yeah, you know, you hit the nail in with the pointed hammer. Are you not with me on this?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, people know it's the Schlagen. Schlagen. We basically. We all, you stand around a wooden, like, you know, stump that you tap a nail in, and then each person around has to, like, try to hit the nail in with the hammer. And it sounds silly when you hear it as I explain it.
It does.
2 hours later, you're like, let's do another game. Like, you play, like, 5 games in a row, and you just get hooked on it. We'll do some Flippy Cup. It's, you know, it's October 13th, 4 to 10 p.m. It's a Saturday. It's just a big party, and it's great. Should we move on to Travail?
Yeah, finally. What's
Travail
going on?
Broke ground on Wednesday. So we are officially moving the utilities, and once XL has we've roughed in everything, and once XL...
So you're going across the street. You're going in next to Hackamuller or, like, down the block a bit?
It's actually right next to Ouellette Bakery.
Oh, very nice.
Between a T-shirt shop and Ouellette Bakery, it's literally, like, across the street from the current Travail. So there'll be some pretty fun, like, Travail, Pig at My Pizza, block party scenarios, I think, coming in the future as well, especially with the brewery element. So that, you know, that's got a rooftop dining experience. It's going to have a speakeasy in the basement. And then we're going to have, like, a
speakeasy, you know, in the basement. You're breaking news. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, we're doing a speakeasy in the basement, and it'll be about 40 seats. And it's actually, you know, the design process has taken about 7 months. And it's been kind of crazy and a wild ride, but we've been working with Peterson Keller down in Uptown, and they're, like, the best of the – they're just amazing. And we're excited. We put maybe a month and a half of design into this last building, and after doing 6 months of design of this, it's like, this is going to be really, really cool. We know exactly, like, what we're getting and what it's going to look like. It's going to be awesome. We've, like, been doing, like, 3D tours of it. It's actually kind of cool, this new thing that they do now.
Oh, I love Peterson Keller. Tour. My kid went to preschool with one of their kids. We know that family. So tell me about the speakeasy. Is there going to be food in the speakeasy, or is it just going to be your crazy, like, smoky cocktails?
It'll be a lot. It'll be very cocktail forward, and we are definitely going to have pizza delivery from across the street. But there'll be like little specialty items that we'll cook there as well. And I think it'll just kind of, it'll kind of be in different phases of the year where we do, you know, just little specialty things where it's like you have a couple different choices.
So I thought you were going to be all about beer now that you have your own brewery, but you're just straight up. Now you're going to have.
We've always been about cocktails, since we've opened this, the current Travail. And the beer situation is, it's crazy. Like, I personally do not know how to brew beer. I'm one of those people that's like, yeah, it's great. Like, I know what I think is good tasting beer. I'm not a beer snob in any sense. But two of the chef's cuisines that have been with us for about 5 years now have been brewing beer together. And they've brewed like 200 different beers. And it's the reason that we're actually adding a brewery element to the Pig in My Pizza concept, because we've tasted multiple tons of beer from them. And it's like, this is a no-brainer. Like, this is chef-driven beer that, like, you know, it's just great. It's, you know, off-style, you know, creative brewing. And we're like, would you guys do this? Would you want to? Like, absolutely. Like, this is what we want to do. I'm like, all right, let's do this. So we all kind of got together and figured out a way to pull it off. And that's why we reconcepted Pig the way it is. It was actually the driving cause of everything that's actually happened. We're going to try to put Pig in My Pizza in the building across the street, but it wouldn't work because the building was too blighted. And then we ended up doing it here. So
in the effort to keep these two chefs, without keep them from leaving, you're half spending a couple million bucks. Well, I hope they appreciate it.
great perspective. I love it. Yeah. I mean, you could probably boil it all down to that. But, you know, it's all organic. It makes sense, right? And, you know, that's how we make our decisions. It's more about, you know, how our group wants to grow. And that's kind of always what we've used as the reason to make moves. So
the people in the community you have, that's everything.
Yeah, man, the barbecue restaurant is all Kale Tommy. Like, I'm not going to be cooking barbecue at that restaurant. Kale Tommy, who's been with us since the very beginning of Travail, is like a junior partner. He's doing barbecue because that's what he wants to do. And we are producing that space with him and partnering with him, equal partners on that, because it's like his project and he's in there every single day, like pounding nails, and we're there doing it with him. So, I don't know. It's a really busy year. Like I was saying, it's just, after this spring, hopefully things calm down for a little while and we can just kind of grab the reins again and do what we do best, which is cooking food. So,
all right, Mr. Bank Brown from Travail. Thank you for talking to us this morning and blessings with all the baby stuff. I'm so happy for you. And we are, if anybody wants tickets, find out more about all this stuff. It's travailkitchen.com.
Come to Guilefest and say hi to Jamie for me, okay?
All right, we'll do.
All right, cool.
Thank you, Chef.
Later.
All right, when we come back, we're going to have Miss Jamie Malone from Grand Cafe. I am so here. All right, everybody. You got questions for me? You can find me on the Facebook. I am Dara. Grumdahl, Dara.Grumdahl. You can find me on the Twitter bot. I am at Dear Dara. Send me your questions. That's how I find content. You send me your content and I discover it. I got all kinds of good questions to answer later on the show. But right now, I am delighted to welcome Miss Jamie Malone to the show. Jamie Malone is our homegrown star, right? So I knew Jamie before she was famous. But now she's got a restaurant, which is Grand Cafe, one of my absolute favorite places in the Twin Cities. She was her chicken liver donut thing, the Paris breast, was on the cover of Food & Wine magazine. That's how good the little chickeny donut situation that you find at Grand Cafe is. If you've never been to Grand Cafe, that might be because 38th Street Bridge has been closed for a really long time, making Jamie Malone's restaurant into a little bit of an island. But 38th Street Bridge is open! Hooray! So you can navigate South Minneapolis somewhat freely. Somewhat, if you're not counting 35, but, you know, you're strong. You can work your way around that. I am really excited to have Jamie on the show. I thought I'd had her on before, but apparently not. Jamie, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so we got to know all the things. So you, what should we start with? Should we start with what was it like to be on the cover? I'll just go to that. People want to know. What was it like to be on the cover? Because you knew before everybody did.
I knew before, but only by accident.
What?
They don't tell you. And so I had known for a while that we were going to get Best New Restaurant, which was, I mean, your limbs just go numb. It's so exciting. And then I got a mistaken email, and so I saw that the Paris Brest was going to be on the cover a few weeks early.
Oh.
But normally they'd make you wait until it hit the mailboxes.
Really?
Yeah.
And then you just have like a tsunami of people coming in and just being like, give me that donut.
Yes. Yeah, the garmanger chef who works at station is like prepping like 200 donuts a night. Oh. Poor guy.
All right. So tell the world, before you were a cover star, how did you're local, you're homegrown, you're really from here.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your life. Where are you? Where you grow up, Miss Jamie Malone?
I grew up in North St. Paul, and I grew up in a family that we ate dinner every night. My dad was kind of the home cook, and he was actually an economist, and he had always wished that he was a chef. So
really?
he played that out a lot at home. So that was something we did together. And
your dad was an economist?
Yep.
Where?
Yeah.
How?
He worked for the Department of Revenue for the state of Minnesota. He led the...
Jamie Malone, my dad was an economist.
Shut up!
I have never met anyone in the history of mankind besides my brother and my sister who had an economist for a father.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Let's talk about the interest rates. No, let's not. So you grew up cooking at home in North St. Paul, which is not West St. Paul or South St. Paul or any of those things. So North St. Paul. And what kind of stuff did your dad make?
Oh, he made everything. So he was very experimental in the kitchen. So there were really great things, and then there were really weird things. I remember the famous salmon loaf that he got really into making, which, I mean, I don't know, it was the 90s, so he probably saw it somewhere, but
salmon,
it was meatloaf made with salmon.
Yeah, my mom used to make like a salmon croquette, so it was like a thing. They were like salmon burgers from canned salmon. Not
yeah,
my favorite.
Not good. But he tried. But then there were some amazing things. Chicken marsala, and I mean, every Sunday it was like the stove was full and we were baking breads. And
oh, fun.
It was really cool. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that is, and that's how, what were your things? Were you the baker then?
We baked bread together. And we would just kind of come up with new things that we wanted to make. And one of the other things that we would do on Saturdays is go eat at different restaurants. So Kramarczyk's was a big one, and just kind of finding all the special places in the city that kind of made us feel superior to everyone because we knew about them and other people didn't.
Kramarczyk's, one of the greatest secrets of the no, it's anybody, if you've never been to Kramarczyk in Northeast Minneapolis, it is a treasure. It is gigantic. It is a wonderful place. You can go get some goulash. I love, that's one of those things where I walk in and I see everything they have and then I have to get the goulash because it's so good. But yeah, if, next time you're in there and you see small children running around, think, you could be on the cover of Food & Wine magazine in 25 years. That could be you. So you were all... So one of the things I think is interesting about your career is that a lot of charming young women, such as yourself, get into a restaurant and are like, oh, the big money's in serving. I should go where the money is. I need money because I live in the world. And you went into serving, but then you kind of backed out of it. Tell me about that.
You know, I did go into serving, and it was when I decided that I wanted to be a chef. Obviously, the first thing I did was get a job at a restaurant and go to culinary school. But I made this map for myself, and I wanted to do everything that there was to do in a restaurant, and I wanted to work at all different kinds of restaurants, high volume, small, learn everything that I could.
We didn't know about this map. I'm learning a lot.
I had a
when
map, yeah.
How old were you when you put your map together?
I don't know, 20.
20? Oh,
yeah.
Interesting. And yeah. So it was like butchery and fish, all of that was on there?
Yep. And I wanted to work in a corporate restaurant and learn, you know, all of the systems that make those restaurants successful that aren't really glamorous, but they make a business run. I never did that. But no, so I wound up serving, and also it helped pay for culinary school. I mean, it's good money, but I think more importantly is it really taught me to truly understand diners and have empathy for diners from a standpoint that's different than the kitchen. I mean, when you're interacting with a diner, it really changes your mindset on what you're doing as, you know, someone cooking the food.
Oh, interesting. So would you say that all the young chefs or young aspirants out there, that would be, they should try that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you learn to understand how servers work and what's important for servers. I mean, in the restaurant, we can cook the greatest food in the world, but if the servers aren't serving it with love and care and respect and, you know, proper steps of service, people can't enjoy that food as much as we want them to. So it's really important that as a chef, we learn how to work with front of house so that we're creating experience together.
Oh, and so I know that this has been a big part of your focus since you opened Grand Cafe, is trying to make the entire experience cohesive.
Yes. Yeah. I think obviously food's incredibly important, but I think how you feel in a restaurant trumps the food.
I think so. I'm very elderly here. What really stands out to me most of all is the details of the cooking are important, but that feeling that you're somewhere that matters, that you're somewhere distinct, that you're somewhere that wants you, that overrules everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so what have you been doing at Grand Cafe? I know. So we should, I guess, I don't want to give short shrift to your cooking. So let's kind of circle back to the fact that you are cooking in this French idiom very beautifully. So we'll circle back to that. But first, let's kind of talk about what steps have you taken? What are you doing to give Grand Cafe that feel, that kind of thing that you can't quite put your finger on?
Yeah, we pay a ton of attention to all of the steps of service and not...
I know you've done a lot to get people, actual human beings. Like, this is some women that you've hired.
Yeah.
That has been a big... Her face just lit up. I wish you could see her big smile. So tell me about that.
My GM, her name is Nikki Clocker, and she's incredible and goofy and weird. And she comes from a background of running surgery centers, so she doesn't have... restaurant experience.
Surgery centers.
Yeah, but she's got...
That's some high stakes.
I mean, she can be organized. It's crazy. But she's got hospitality. She understands how to take care of people and disarm them and make them feel comfortable and welcome, because she's doing that for people who are going into surgery. So her perspective is really important to me. And we just work a lot on... every step, like from when you walk in the door to when you leave, you know, we think about the way we phrase questions and the way we're setting down silverware. And I think we think about it also in the context of the Grand Cafe, because this is a place that is inviting you to have an intimate experience. You don't want a server spieling too long, or you don't want too much activity at the table. You don't want to be asked a lot of questions. You just kind of want to be left to have your experience. So we work really hard at how can we pamper, how can we personalize, how can we make you feel really special but still sort of stay out of your way a little bit.
Yeah, that is a fine line. And I know you don't like when people start asking you, like, the female chefs, how do you have a female chef, but the same way I don't really, if people are like, how did you get to be such a great female writer? It's like, that's not what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just expressing myself. But then on the other hand, there are times in my career when all of a sudden I start get put in a cliche box of being a woman. I don't like it, or I'm managed in a way that I find offensive, or, you know, like there's people I have interactions with are gross and terrible. And so even though that's not what I want to deal with, I do have to deal with it sometimes. And I know that you've been on the same road, like finding the management style and the people around you to allow you to be you. Mm-hmm. It's been a journey.
It has been a journey. Yeah. And I think that I have tried to kind of ignore a lot of that stuff. And then, you know, it just keeps popping up and you keep learning how to deal with it. And I think... what's been important to me is exactly what you said, to learn how to do this in my way and not let the traits that some people may consider feminine or whatever, to not shy away from those traits. And then to encourage the women around me to do the same. I mean, you know, I was talking about Nikki as one of the women on my team, but the other leader of the restaurant is Britt St. Clair, and she's our chef de cuisine, and she is amazing and commanding and so talented and so organized and just fierce. But she is sweet and she's deferential and she's got a quietness to her and a calmness to her. And it's definitely not like a masculine way of running a kitchen that we're sort of used to seeing, but it's so effective and it's so amazing to watch. And so
we have a few of these very powerful kind of female-centered kitchens in the Twin Cities, women-centered kitchens. Spoon River with Branda Langton and her chef de cuisine, who I'm drawing a blank on, but amazing woman who's been there for been there for 30 years at this point, I think, or been with Branda for 30 years. The Chef Shack ladies. I mean, so we're slowly creating kind of parallel structures. So women want to come up in a women-centered kitchen. There's a bunch of places now to work. If you're 20 and writing your own map, you could put those on there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not something that we, you know, are on a path to do, but it's just kind of happening organically, and it's really fun. It's really cool.
I might challenge you on that. I think you, because I think, you know, even as the owner, the manager, you will end up with some, you know, some people that work for you who will be disrespectful or, you know, kind of jerky or whatever, and you have to manage them out of your space.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I've seen that happen.
Yeah.
All right. So now let's do the talking about your precise cooking. You're very when I think about your plating, the way you cook, it's a very nice kind of dance between precision, technique, and then kind of a letting it happen.
Yeah.
How did that come to be? How did you develop that style?
The first kitchens I was attracted to and worked in, and the first kind of cookbooks I really started getting into, it was all about precision and tasting menus and what we would call fine dining.
Yeah, I remember the first stuff of yours I ever had was at Sea Change when you were there, and that was little dots. Very, very precious. Like, but good. I mean, like, technically wonderful, but very... very, yeah, tweezer food, rulers and tweezers and precision.
Yeah. And I love some of that, and I love the way it looks. And it's like, listen, let's show off technique on the plate, but let's not put other stuff around it. Like, the technique needs to be that we made a perfect tart shell or that we know how to cook an omelet and nothing more. And trying to be pragmatic about that stuff. In a word, you said kind of letting it happen, and I love that you pick up on that, and I hope people do, but I like to think of it as a little bit of lustiness, like with the food, of just eat it with your fingers and let it be a little good and dirty and real and just reflect humanity instead of this perfect thing all the time.
And that's what you grew into as a mature artist.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And now, like, I see young cooks who, you know, want to make that tweezer food.
Well, maybe it's something you got to learn. You got to learn the rules to break them.
Yeah.
All right, Jamie Malone, it was so fun to have you on the show. I will now always know that we are the children of economists. That's so weird. That's never happened. Everybody, go to Grand Cafe. It's so much fun. South Minneapolis on 38th Street where the bridge has reopened. Jamie, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
All right, we come back. We're going to get through your questions on Off the Menu. Yeah, Dara here. All right, so here's I got a question. Was my dad who used to be on Wall Street Week. Yeah, that was him. That was Louis Rukeyser. If you ever watched that show in the 80s and 90s, public television, Wall Street Week, my dad was one of the guests all the time. Arnold X. Moskowitz. He died young, unfortunately, in 2002, so he hasn't been around for a while. But yeah, if you remember that, you get some points for remembering Wall Street Week. In the 80s with Louis Rukeyser. Those were some fun times. My dad knew a lot about interest rates. I don't. I do know a lot about grilling peaches. All right, so the first question I'm going to get to was about the grilled peaches at the state fair. How do you do them at home? Well, it's just about as easy as it looks. So you can just get your grill good and hot. And then the only thing is, do you have like a incredibly clean grill? If you have a very, very clean grill, then you just literally just slip them on there, grill them for, you know, 5-6 minutes, 4-3 minutes, something, depending on how high heat is. You're really just trying to get a nice char on it. It doesn't matter if they get cooked through because they're delicious when they're fresh. They're delicious when they're cooked. And then you could just drizzle some honey on it, or you could put a little bit of Chev on, just like they did at the state fair. Very easy. If your grill is not the cleanest grill in the world, then I would just brush the peaches with a little melted butter and that will allow them to not stick. That's your only thing. So you could brush them with a little melted butter, and then when they hit the grill, eventually they will release. The butter will allow them to release. That's what I got to say about that. All right. That's an easy thing to do. I thought it was so smart. It's just like the roast corn, except it's peaches. You're taking the thing. Will we get a grilled tomato next year? I don't know. I'll be there to find out. All right, so what were some we should do the recipes. I've got the lettuce wraps up. So if you go to WCCORadio.com/menu/Dara, D-A-R-A, you will find lettuce wraps. I put those up because next week we're at Bacon Bash. So you got to eat your lettuce this week because next week we're doing bacon. So I've got a bunch of them. The easiest one, your entry-level lettuce wrap is, in fact, your BLT wrap. You just put a little, you know, put maybe a slice of avocado, slice of bacon, slice of tomato, wrap it in a nice lettuce leaf. That's good. I've got a recipe, but you don't probably need it. That's just a concept. Little pork larb lettuce wrap. That is a really nice recipe. So if you've ever had larb, it's the Southeast Asian way of taking ground meat, lots of herbs and chilies, cooking that up together with lime juice. A little bit in the family of a taco salad. Totally different, but, you know, kind of like that. That is just the nicest, lightest, summery thing to make. I've got that recipe up. I got kind of a fancy one, a little duck pistachio lettuce wrap. You can do this with duck confit. That is a very nice thing to do. Or if you happen to have a smoked duck, I'm jealous. That's a good thing. I've got a nice chicken and avocado salad from ye old Rick Bayless. That's a good lettuce wrap. That is up. You could do this with a rotisserie chicken, some avocado cubes, and a chipotle dressing. This is nice. You're going to do this on your patio. Invite your friends over. Have a bottle of wine. Enjoy this beautiful weekend. Do that. And then my last one, famous. Come on, you know this one. It's the David Chang Korean pork shoulder lettuce wrap. One of the absolute recipes of the decade. So fun. A spicy pork, put that into a lettuce wrap. Sit around with your friends, open a beer. Everything good. I love everything about that. I got a question about mushrooms. Somebody listened to my segment with Adam Carter earlier this week. Wanted to know, what do you make with mushrooms? What's the entry level good recipe? I think that a stew, I think that that's it. If you get your kind of mushrooms all cut up and you're putting them in something with a bunch of meat, you won't even notice the mushrooms. So if you're trying to, you know, ease your way in, that whole situation opens next Friday. I'm very excited about it. I want to find out if St. Paul's going to go to this giant thing at the Schmidt Brewery, to the Keg and Case Marketplace. I want to know. All right, so next week, I need you to call your friends right now and tell them that you're all going to Bacon Bash, because the whole WCCO crew, all of us, are going to be out there live in River Falls. I'm going to be there. Lindsay's going to be there. Hammer's going to be there. It should be a blast. It is the country's largest live free bacon event. There's a costume contest. They make cupcakes for the kids. They frost them like pigs, and then they do a speed eating contest when the kids' hands are behind their back. Funniest thing. It is the funniest thing in the world. There are plush pigs flying off the roofs. Everything. It's so much fun. So come see me. We will laugh. We will have bacon together. River Falls Bacon Bash. Till then, you know, I hope you have a week full of perfect garden tomatoes and sandwiches to keep you full of good summer tomato sandwich energy all summer. And I'll see you here next week on Off the Menu.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.